937-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZIONHILL.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
I want to call your attention to two scriptures. That's all we know in this church, scriptures. The first one is having to do with Daniel fast. It's in the book of Daniel. Chapter 10 and verse number 2. All right. The question is, what is Daniel fast and what are you supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing? Well, let's go to Mr. Daniel and ask Mr. Daniel, what have you started? Daniel chapter 10 verse 2, Daniel said, in those days, I, Daniel, so you know who's telling you. If anybody know about Daniel fast, Mr. Daniel know. And what did he say about his fast? He said, I was mourning. Some of your Bible translations say fasting for how long? All right, now you see where we got 21 days. All minds clear? So you don't need to call me again. So Mr. Daniel said, I was fasting for 3 weeks. Then he's going to tell you what the fast is about. You don't need to call pastor. What am I supposed to eat? How do I do this? No, you're smart. You're very smart people in this church. We're very special in this church. I brag about you everywhere I go. He says, verse number 3, I stay away from pleasant bread, and then I stay away from flesh, and I stay away from wine. That's it. So it's not complicated. Don't let anybody make a mountain out of it. 3 things. Stay away from wine. It's not a time to be drinking. See, I got it. All right. What else? Flesh means meat. Stay away from meat. Stay away from drinks, especially alcohol, wine. If I hear you get drunk, I'm coming. And finally, stay away from pleasant food. You know, all those good stuff we eat, cake and nice, you know. All my skin. So unplug, you see, nothing can flow in the heart, in the arteries, if it's clogged. So for 21 days, and what you need to be doing during those 21 days quiet, worship, and excellence. It's not just diet. Don't just do diet. That's religion. And first time to worship God. In your prayer, studying the word of God, praise and worship, just find some song to sing. You don't need no choir for that one. Just get up, woke up this morning with my mind. Do something. Just celebrate God. All right? That's what Daniel was doing. And then develop your skill set. The Bible says, because he was fasting, when they check on him, he was better 10 times. So it's not just about diet now. Whatever you're called to do, like if you're a singer, I've been practicing. Like I'm a preacher, I'm going to be practicing my skill. So that wherever I go to preach the word, when I open my mouth, anointing will flow. So it's more than diet. All right? Don't religion always try to twist it. Daniel stand out three areas. His diet, his worship, and his skill. He was far ahead of all of his competitors. He stand out. Can you imagine if all of us here, I don't know how many, if all of us here stand out in our field, Central Louisiana will change just like that. All right? So we don't need religion out of Daniel 5. Just keep it simple. Don't drink. I know some of you like to drink Russian whatever. Shut it down for 21 days. Amen. I know many of you like me, you like Popeye chicken, you like all those sweet stuff. Shut it down for 21 days. No cake. If the devil bring it to you, say, no, not today. Amen. All my skin. All right. Father, I thank you that this is a place of worship, a place of prayer, a place of fasting. Holy Spirit, explain your word better than I can. I thank you for knowledge. I thank you for understanding. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today I want to talk with you on the subject titled An Introduction to Manifestation. An Introduction to Manifestation. We have told you by permission of the Holy Spirit that this year will be a year of manifestation. Now the Lord is sending me to begin to introduce that subject so that we're not just declaring something without understanding. In the book of Romans chapter 15 verse 4, the Bible says, whatsoever things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. In other words, everything you're reading from the Old Testament is not just historical data. They are there for New Testament church to learn from it. So I'm going to take an account today from Old Testament, walk you and me through it, so that you can see clearly how this thing called manifestation will work in your life and in my life. All minds clear? Again, the topic is titled An Introduction to Manifestation. Let me start out by reminding you that in the history of mankind, there are only three men who never died. Everybody else died. But three men never died. Number one is Melchizedek. The Bible said concerning him, nobody knew where he was born. Nobody knew his beginning or his end. He never died. Another gentleman that never witnessed death is Enoch. He never died. And there's a third person who I want to talk about extensively today and use him as a case study for you to know about this thing called manifestation. That third person who never died was Elijah. So I'm going to use his life, his ministry, what he did, how this manifestation thing worked in his life. To understand a lot about Elijah, you need to know 900 years before Jesus Christ was born, there was a king in Israel by the name Ahab. Anybody remember his wife's name? Jezebel. You sure right about it. Jezebel the witch. There's a lot I can tell you about this king, but I'm not going to waste too much time about it. But his wife is tough. In fact, those of us who come from a kingdom where there are kings and queens, it's not uncommon that a king will have 2, 3, 4, 5 wives. That's how they demonstrate their wealth, their whatever, their power. Ahab was the only king in Israel with one wife. You know why? Because he was married to a witch. I've tried it. The Bible is not complicated. Who is going to go to the palace to share the palace with a witch? So Ahab's only wife was Jezebel. Now, you all know a lot about the two of them. Basically, they brought another god to Israel. That god is called Baal. They caused the people of God to start worshiping other god. Another thing they did, they built a temple to this phony god. You know, Israel got a temple for Almighty God. God himself gave the blueprint to Moses. And there was a temple that was built by King Solomon. Huge temple. But here comes Ahab. He built another one for an idol. And then he went further. This time he made the worship of Baal the official religion of Israel. That's like saying to God, in your face. Now, needless to say, God was upset about that. If you are God, you're going to be upset too. Am I right about it? So, the way God reacted is to raise up a man by the name Elijah. Now, you see how Elijah comes into the picture. God raised him up to go and confront King Ahab, to go and tell him about his wrongdoing. And the way it happened was that Elijah, the prophet of Almighty God, went before that king and said, to let you know you're wrong, I will shut down all the rain in your country. There will be no rain in Israel until I, the preacher, say so. And then Elijah explained to the king, the reason why I'm doing this, The reason why God is allowing me to do this is because you're worshiping the wrong God. And you're causing God's people to go in the wrong direction. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the result from that. Instantly, there was famine in Israel. I can stop there and preach to you because when a true man or woman of God speak, heaven will honor it. If you have a pastor that speak and God don't honor it, question is calling or a calling. Because Elijah said there'll be no rain, all of the country dried up. There was famine and there was drought. You know how the children be singing, it is so, yes it is so. He will do just what he said. You see, you hear it in song. I just demonstrated to you. The Bible is not complicated at all. So for months, for years, no rain in Israel. And I can stop there and also point out to you that you need to learn like Elijah if you want God to manifest in your life. Learn to speak what you want. He just used his mouth to declare there'll be no rain. You got a mouth. I got a mouth. All God's children got a mouth. Don't go through this year without using your tongue. You cannot go to a job interview without talking. You will not get the job. And I see some of you lawyers in the house. You know it as I do. You can even have a bad case. But if you have a good lawyer that can talk, you might win the case. So today, in the name of Jesus, I release your tongue to say good things concerning yourself throughout the year. Don't let a day pass by without saying good things about yourself. Look at your husband or your wife or your children. Say, you're good looking. Don't see ugly. See good. Amen. Bless yourself. Bless your people. Bless your children. They are the seed of your womb. Are you learning from Elijah already? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the next thing you see in the story of Elijah is that King Ahab blamed Elijah for the famine in the land. Have you ever seen people that are in blame game? They never accept responsibility. We have some of them in government. I won't mention no name. It's always somebody else's fault. We elected you to solve the problem. Don't look at your neighbor. You know I'm free. They will blame everybody else. Ahab is saying the reason why we're in famine, the reason why we're in drought is because of you, preacher. You the one who said. And then what that led to is that Ahab began to chase the preacher down. You know how they would set up FBI, CIA, all these, or the local police to run you down. Go arrest him. Go to put him away. That's exactly what happens to Elijah. Then, my brothers, my sisters, this is where you need to learn something, as I'm learning too. God took Elijah to three places. And you and I will go through that three places this year if you want to experience manifestation. How many places it took him to? That's what you need to know to experience manifestation. The first place he took him to is a location called Ravine. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a place for Elijah to hide out. It's in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 3. In the brook of Cherith. It's called Ravine. It's just like saying, go to Sonia Quarter and hide out. So I don't want you all to think, oh, Ravine, what is that? It's just a location. So the preacher was told, go there and hide. This place called Ravine is dark. This place is cold and it's lonely. And maybe you're here, you're beginning a new year, and you're going through some coldness. You're going through some dark time. Have you ever noticed how we can all come to church, everybody dressed up, everybody looking good, but you know you're going through some darkness? Others don't see, they don't notice it, but you know you're going through some cold temperature. Sometimes you're going through some loneliness. That's the first location where Elijah was told to hide out. Elijah was literally cut off from his friends, cut off from social media, you know. No news. When you're hiding out from the government or from the king, you're cut off from others. Have you ever seen yourself sometimes? Maybe it's just me. Sometimes I'm talking about me, not you. Sometimes you find yourself in the company of people, but you're still alone. The house is full of people. I got 5 children. I got relatives. They're all around. You are in there, but you're not there. That's what Elijah feel like. He was alone. And then the question must be asked, why would God allow his own follower, his preacher, a Christian like you and me, to be in a lonely place? I'm introducing you to manifestation. Sometimes God will do that because he wants time with you. Sometimes God wants your undivided attention. Sometimes I am so much in that mood, some of the children will say, hello. Because they can tell that, okay, he's here, but it's not here. Sometimes God wants your undivided attention this year. Then God did something for Elijah while he was hiding out at Ravine. Did you know what God did? And you can invest the time to study this. I'm going through 5 chapters of the Bible in case you miss it. If you're a theologian, you know. God sent raven, a bird, to bring food to Elijah. Not only was the bird bringing burgers and meat, God told the man of God, you can drink from the brooks. That's in your Bible. Now, I can stop there and preach to you all day because I'm a theologian, you know. We just don't read. We hear from God. Have you ever wondered why God will use a raven? Raven is one of the most ugly birds. There's a lesson there, because this year you need to be on the lookout. The people you think will help you, God may use some people that you don't expect. The people that you think they can't even help you. That's a good word. Do not underestimate whoever God will use to bless you. They may not be church folks all dressed up, smelling good. Are raving. Of all birds, there are all kinds of beautiful birds out there. But God sent a raven. And the Bible says it is so. He was there in that brook for a long time, and food was coming every day. And there was water to drink. There's some lessons you and I can also learn from there. That means as you go through this year, sometimes you may experience some hard time, but when we go through hard time, God always provides for his children. Oh, glory. You think you're in a lonely place. You think you're cut off from all your friends and all your Facebook, whatever. They're not your friend, really. Don't let you too smart for that. Oh, my Facebook family. Yeah, right. You know better than that. But it's good to know that God will take care of you. Start this year knowing, come hell or high water, it don't matter what happened at the state capitol. It don't matter what happened in Washington. God will take care of me. Amen. God was feeding him through the birds, and there was water to drink. Then if you read 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7, something strange happened. Ask me what happened. The brooks dried up. Now, I just told you God will take care of you, and you were shouting over that. Now, the very God caused the brook to dry up. What do you do when your job is gone? What do you do when they say, okay, now we now have artificial intelligence, we don't need you anymore? Some of you, you're in a situation right now, and that situation is drying up. Money dried up. Friendship dried up. Relationship dried up. Even sometimes, maybe I'm just talking about me, sometimes even your own energy dried up. You wake up, you want to do this, do that, but your body did. Been there. See, you don't read the Bible just as a story. The Bible is a coded language. The assignment of the man of God is to explain and untie the code. You don't need somebody just whooping and hollering and putting on a show. You don't need a show, you need understanding. What do you do when the brooks dried up? That's God's way of saying, I don't want you to think the raven is your source. I've experienced this many times in my life, Brother Brown. That I think this person is the one helping me, that person is, and God will cut off that source so I can focus on him. Are you all still here this morning? Ladies and gentlemen, some of you right now, you're facing a situation where the brook has dried up. How do you know that? When your bills pile up. You're facing a deadline. God will put you in a situation to know that if God don't do it, nobody else. And sometimes God will allow the brooks to dry up or put an end to that relationship. I know you think you are in love. Oh, you think I've been working on this job since 1902. And God will shut it down. Why? Because he wants to move you to a better place. I'm trying to help somebody. Been there. Done that. Got me a t-shirt. Got souvenirs to show for you. My brothers, my sisters, when things go bad, the natural tendency is for you and me to think that God has forgotten you. Elijah could have stayed there and said, oh man, serving the Lord really don't pay. But I stop by to tell you, manifestation, God will manifest himself in a supernatural way. But don't put your hope on people or person. This is why David said, I will look where? To the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help come from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Are you still here this morning? The Lord then told Elijah, he said, hey, dude, you need to get out of here, and I want you to go to a place called Zarephath. By the way, for those of you who are scholars, that's over 100 miles away. By the way, there ain't no taxi cab, no Uber. By the way, there are no no Highway 49, no I-20. The Bible is fascinating. And this man have to walk. So that brings you to a second place to experience manifestation. The first place is called a hiding place, a lonely place, a dark place. But this second place is when you find yourself on a journey. He find himself on the road. The road gets rough. The going gets tough. You all be singing this thing, but sometimes I wonder if you are paying attention to what you are saying. The road was rough. Keep in mind there was famine in the land. So it was hot. It was rough. It was long. But you have to go on that journey. So no matter what is happening this year, don't let it intimidate you. That assignment to go on the road is in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. Please notice, although that road is dangerous, there's another thing that is very weird about the journey. The place where God is asking him to go, Zarephath, is the hometown of Miss Jezebel. Can you imagine? Like me, I'm a foreigner. Let's say the ice are looking for me. And then let's suppose God said, son of man, by the way, ice, they have their office somewhere in the airport in Alexandria. Son of man, go. I'm going to send you somewhere. Go to the airport. Where the ICE office? I said, the devil is a lie. I bind that devil in the hell. That's why I'm just letting you understand the Bible. It was a tough journey. But notice, Elijah went anyway. Then God said, when you get there, I've prepared a widow to meet you, and she will take care of you. There's another lesson there. I said it before, I'm saying it again. I don't like to be redundant, but when something is important, notice God did not say, I will get a billionaire to meet you there. He prepared a poor widow. Unlikely source. Look out for that this year. People you don't expect. Unlikely source. God will use it to bless you. When I started my ministry in this church, I told you all my story. Ain't no shame in my game. We were struggling financially. The whole year budget is $84,000 for the whole year. Today, if we make $84,000 in a month, I will cry. What we were doing a whole year, now we are doing in weeks. That's to give you a picture. But one day, I knew what's going on because I understand numbers. I'm a businessman. Everybody's shouting glory to God, but I know the real deal. And one day, a white girl came through the door. True story. And that white sister mentally ill. She was a patient at Crossroad where Mama Rosie Johnson was working. And she came and gave me a check for the church. $2,000. Sometimes we preach and sing for weeks. We never see that kind of money. But because of our condition, I'm trying to help you. I don't have sermons anymore. I have wisdom from God. Because of our condition, nobody believes that check is good. But I stand on the word of God today. That check was just as good as gold. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Pay attention. God will bless you this year through unlikely sources. The people that you expect to help you, they are not going to help you. God used a raven, ugly bird. God used a poor widow. Are you listening to me? Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to say to you, I need to hurry up. I can stay all day decoding the Bible. You see, the path to miracle sometimes is not what you expect. The path to miracle sometimes may be uncomfortable. Hiding out is uncomfortable. Being disconnected from your bodies is uncomfortable. Having to travel and walk 100 plus miles is uncomfortable. But the road to miracle. So don't come here just singing, the road gets tough, the going gets tough. Don't just sing it. I beg you. And all you're getting, get understanding. And sure enough, when he got there was a widow there. That widow, you remember, she was gathering woods. Elijah said, are you a widow? Yes, sir. He said, please, ma'am, get me something to drink. The widow said, sure. And as she was going to go get something to drink, Elijah, the preacher, said, ma'am, one more thing. Will you please bring me some food, too? That's when the widow said, ah, now you're going too far. And you need to know, sir, I was willing to get you some water, but you need to know I came here to gather some wood, and I was going home to prepare my last meal for me and my son to eat and die. In case you don't know, there's famine in the land. There's no food. The groceries are closed. The waters are not running. So now you expect me to bring you food? N-O. That's the kind of thing that you give somebody the middle finger. You don't care if he's a preacher, prophet, apostle. Say, oh no, the devil is alive. This is for me and my son. But the preacher, I got to hurry up. The preacher said to her, he said, if you will be obedient, your jar would never run dry. In fact, the preacher said, go and bring me first. Now, I'm teaching you something very profound. In your life this year, you will have to exercise your faith. That woman has a decision to make. Are you going to stick to what works for you? You still got a jar of oil, and you got some flour to make bread, and you're going to eat and die, you and your son. Or are you going to step out of the boat and believe God for big things? I'm trying to move you to a place of more than enough. I don't get here by chance. I have to learn to step out when the road gets rough, when friends are few, when all the odds against me. I have to step out by faith, even when my own spouse cannot see where I'm going. If you want to do great this year, please, I'm begging all of you, this is a year of manifestation. But you have to get out of your comfort zone. You know what that woman did? She went home, cooked the meal, gave it to the prophet first. You know what the Bible says? Her jar never run dry. Oh, glory. You better call the police. I feel like shouting already. God will take you to a place where everybody else is struggling. You are cruising because you exercise your faith. It's not always convenient. Do you think it was convenient for Noah to be building a boat when the whole town was laughing at him? Do you think it was convenient for the 10 lepers to go to town that the Lord said, you better not come into town until you are healed, but they are not healed yet? Jesus said, go to town and show yourself. Do you think it's easy for the woman with the issue of blood? You're walking around and your body is leaking on you. And you have to go through the crowd. You better get out of this Mickey Mouse religion and allow God to do great and mighty things in your life. And so you can watch miracles after miracles in your own life. My brothers, my sisters, I will say this in conclusion. This man, God told him again, you got to leave. Now I want you to go back to Israel and show yourself to the king, the president, governor, whatever you want to call it, that's looking for you. What will you do when God say, bless your enemy? You know your player hater. You know their address. And now God say, buy him a Christmas gift. There's one thing I want you to see consistently in the life of Elijah. It's called obedience. Obedience. You will see me shout it every day. Oh, obedience. Oh, obedience. That's the key to manifestation. Go and hide out. He obeyed. Get up. Walk 100 miles plus. He obeyed. Go to Zarephath, the hometown of Jezebel. He obeyed. Now he's comfortable in the home of a widow. Everything going fine. God said, no, don't get too comfortable here. Go back to Israel. Go show yourself to Ahab. The moment he showed up, tried to hurry up. I've covered 3 chapters already. The king looked at him and said, ah, you the troublemaker. I'm glad I finally catch up with you. So Elijah says, sir, I'm not the troublemaker. You are the troublemaker. It's because of your ungodliness that we have famine and drought in Israel. But God sent me back here to bring back rain. You see, I challenge you and your false prophet. Let's meet on Mount Carmel. And let's prove who has the real God. Am I still in the book? And then he said, this is the God who answered by fire. Oh, I wish I have time to preach to you this morning. You know what we need in the church? Fire. I'm believing God for a church where the choir will get on fire, where the pulpit will get on fire, where the deacons will get on fire, where the deaconess will get on fire. Every preacher in the house be on fire. It's too cold. It's too cold. It's too cold in the house of God. You all know the story. I wish I had time to walk you through it. But they all got it. The king said, oh, that's a deal. Because I want to let you know what we got going on. Official religion of the state and all the Baal prophet, we're the real deal. They got to Mount Carmel. Elijah said, okay, you all go first. We're going to get 2 bulls. You get pick your own bull. Set your altar. And we're not going to use candle. We're not going to use matches. Pray to your God to send fire. And you know what happened. Those false prophets. Oh, I wish I have time to preach. There are false prophets in your community. And some of you, you go hang out and kiss up to them. And you know what they're saying is not lining up with the word of God. Somebody needs to tell the truth. And those false prophets, mama, they were calling on their false God all day, all night. Then Elijah began to make fun of them. I began to think, I must be related to Elijah. He began to tease them. He said, get a little louder. Maybe your God is sleeping. Or maybe some vacation. Scream. They were screaming. They were loud. They were cutting themselves all day, all night. No fire. Then Elijah said, okay, let me try my God. Elijah said, "I will do something more. Pour water on my altar." Elijah did three things. Number one, this is what you need to do now. See, you can see I'm speaking from my heart today. I don't need no note for this. I practiced this. The first thing he did, he prepared the altar. Are you listening to me? That means your prayer life cannot be on hold this year. I know you think, oh, prayer, that's Shirley Jofian. Who is Shirley Jofian? You need God. Shirley Jofian is just leading the prayer. You better find your way to church on Friday. Oh, that's Dayton Willie. He prayed too long. Really? I'm trying. Who is Dayton Willie? Your future is on the line. Somebody, God sent him to clean this place up. You better remove all your excuses. I can't pray with Joshua. There are early Monday morning. That's too early for me. I'm still sleeping. You're going to sleep in poverty. You think I like getting up in the morning? God is my witness. I don't sleep any day until past 1 a.m. Not a single day. And by 6:30, one of the deacons will call to wake me up because I'm so tired. I can't even get up on my own. And you're making excuses? You think this is a joke? Prepare the altar. Make your prayer life a priority this year so that God can bless you on common miracle in your life, in the life of your loved ones, so that God can make you an example all over the world. The first thing Elijah did, he prepared the altar. The second thing he did, he gathered all 12 stones. Signifying 12 tribes. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Your family. See, every stray member of your family, gather them back together. Go reach them. I don't care if they are knucklehead. No. Reach out to. Some of my own family members, I don't even want to talk to them. But you know what? If I want God to do great things in my life, I got to gather every member of the tribe. The more they try to defy, the more I put them back together. And they call on God. And God sent down fire. And you know the rest of the story. All the false prophets, they were all killed. Nah, I got to stop here because my time. I have a lot to say. Come back 10 o'clock. Here's the deal. This brother, God manifested himself so strong in his life to the point that God would not even allow him to die. Are you listening to me? God sent chariots of fire to pick him up. And while people are still looking, God, take him out. You are too anointed. You are too strong to rot in this crazy world. I want to pray with somebody today as you face the new year. Say, Lord, help me to do better. That's my own prayer. I just don't want to be the same Joshua 2025. It's a new year. It's a better year. I want to rock the boat. I want to shake the foundation. I want God to use me to do great and mighty things through me. How about you? Everybody stand to your feet. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit will magnify you. Thank you for knowledge and understanding. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you will provoke your love in us this year. Cause us to live a life of obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. We just don't want to be a member of the church. We just don't want to be a member of the choir. We just don't want to be a member of the ministerial team, or a member of the usher, a member of this, a member of that. Lord, use us for your glory. Glorify yourself in our lives. Let this year be a year of manifestation. In the name of Jesus. Let this year be a year of manifestation of your glory, manifestation of your power, manifestation of your grace, manifestation of your abundance in our life, in the life of our children. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for it. It is so. Our cup will never run dry. It is so. You will prepare a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. It is so. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. All is well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now give the Lord God a clap of. Before you leave, I need you to do us one favor. Please forgive me for asking you this, but I have to be obedient. Somebody died. And you know the rest of the story. They don't have insurance. They have no money to bury their dead. Ushers, please come. I want you. I need your help. It's not my mama. It's not my daddy. It's not my loved ones. This is just an opportunity to help somebody. I'm sorry. We can stay here all day. Why don't you get your own insurance? I've worked too hard to get mine. But we don't have time to be blaming. These are our people. We have to continue to teach and help and have grace upon one another. If the Lord put it in your heart to be a blessing, will you please come? Choir, please sing something. I don't know what you're going to say. Please, let's be a blessing.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church family. Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church family. Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Joyden,